everybody. Welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty, along with Eric Baranchek, and we're here to talk about the Packers and their 28-19 win at Chicago on Sunday. And first things first, Eric, this is you and I, we're in the big leagues here. You got to play hurt, right?
That's right. You got to show up.
Yep.
Your most important ability is availability.
Yeah, and you're playing hurt today with a cold and a gravelly, scratchy voice, but
it's my sexy Rip Wheeler voice.
Yeah, well, good to know you're gutting it out. I guess, you know, there's I think we're only going to spend part of the time talking about this actual game, but the I think the starting place is the Packers' game plan for Justin Fields. You know, a week ago they play at Philadelphia, and Jalen Hurts puts up, what was it, like 157 or something like that, yards rushing, just killed them scrambling. And this guy, Fields, is a better runner than Hurts is. Joe Barry came out with a different game plan, and it worked. You want to run through what you saw when you rewatched the game tape, Eric?
Yeah, one of the things that was different right from the get-go is they did not utilize a spy. So a lot of times when you have a running quarterback, you keep a safety or a linebacker centered up, and his job is to stay about 7 yards deep off the line and be eye to eye with that quarterback. He goes right, he goes left, he's just going to spy him and go get him. That didn't work last week because Quay Walker was the spy, and he got beat up, and it he got juked, he got blocked. there was not a lot there for him. Success-wise. So sometimes you'll see defensive coordinators get kind of cute, and they'll drop down a safety to do that. But what the Packers did this week was they kept their two inside backers in predominantly and just had those guys be at tackle depth or tackle wide and play zone. And everybody was zone. It, you know, so they had deep safeties, they had cornerbacks, everybody's looking at the quarterback. So if he was going to break the pocket, you got 11 guys converging to the ball. And it worked for the most part. He got the one big rip, but that was a run play. And he juked out Mixon on that, which was a really athletic play. And Ngambari got washed inside, and Seven didn't make the angle. And he went for, you know, was it 55 yards in the touchdown? But other than that, you know, they kept him hemmed in there, and they weren't rushing him. They weren't blitzing him a lot. They were pretty much just trying to keep him in the pocket and let him beat them with his arm, which of course he couldn't do.
Yeah. And that was the thing that jumped out to me even during the game, was how disciplined their pass rush was. And they were getting almost no pressure, but those guys were rushing to keep him in the pocket. And I counting up the plays, rewatched the game today, I had the Packers for 3 blitzes, and all 3 of them, it wasn't like guys were just going, you know, hell-bent to put the guy on the ground. They, even with the 5th rusher, everybody was more about staying in their rush lane than trying to sack the guy. So it seemed like they were a lot better with their discipline on the rush lanes than they were against Philadelphia. I don't know if you saw that too.
Right, and a lot of times their blitzes were designed to be run blitzes, which is something that they do. You saw them do it. I think now that Campbell is back in the game or he's playing, you'll see some more of that out of Quay Walker, where they're going to blitz him B-gap or they're going to blitz him C-gap, and depending if there's a tight end on that side or not, how they line them up. So that was what I saw there. Anything off the edge was a free runner. They just didn't get home, but it wasn't like – they just were, you know, hell-bent for election trying to get there. They were more important about keeping really good integrity of the lanes up front and making sure those two backers were flying out of there at like 8 to 10 yards with their eyes forward. So it was sound that way. I guess, you know, part of my dismay of watching it was it just when it came time to tackle the running back, you know, there just wasn't that aggressiveness till later in the second half. So I questioned that a little bit as to, are these guys just tired of that D coordinator? And you saw some plays out of the secondary as well, Pete, where guys were jumping routes that they don't normally do. You know, a lot of people want to get on Jair Alexander. But I tell you what, he didn't give up. He got some deep passes, but none of them were touchdowns, which is great. And the one where he bit on the in route, he caught up to that. He was toast by 5 yards and caught up to that ball and tackled that guy. That was, I think, was really good play. Not only that, he gave up but he didn't give up six. And more importantly, he got the pick. And then also earlier in the game on a third down, a bubble screen to Claypool, he went and tackled him for -4 yards. So, you know, you got to take the good with the bad sometimes when you got stud players. But I think overall defensively, they did what they wanted to do, and that was to make him beat him with the arm, and he couldn't do it.
Yeah, that second one that Alexander gave up to show you the importance of, you know, not letting the guy get in the end zone. I'm pretty sure that's the possession where they have first and goal at the 9, I think, and they get a holding penalty that knocks them back 10 yards, and they end up trying to kick a field goal, and Lowry blocks it, and they don't add 3 points to their lead.
Right. So that was a really crucial tackle that was made on that play.
You know, it doesn't surprise me, not thinking back now, that Barry went with the playing zone rather than spying. Because he did say multiple times last week in his press conference, he talked about, you know, putting it on one guy to bring down in the open field a guy like Hurts or a guy like Fields. You're asking an awful lot out of that guy. And he's, you know, he said you need multiple guys to corral those guys. And so that's the difference, I guess, between going with the spy and the zone. Is the spy, a lot of times it came down to one-on-one. How many, 2 or 3 times it was one-on-one with Hurts last week, and Hurts smoked him. I think it was Walker on most of them. And this time, you know, you had 55 on the one run, 71 total. So that's 16 yards on his other 5 carries. He had six runs. So that's 16 yards on his other 5 carries. So he was not breaking their backs with scrambling for first downs, with picking up chunk plays. He put up a big 7-pointer, but that was it. So that was That was big. That's a big reason that's the way that guy was going to beat him was with his legs, and they didn't let him do it. So,
well, and the other thing too that plays into the factor is when both Campbell and Walker are in the game, those are two very tall linebackers and with long arms. So you gotta, if you're going to have them play zone, as a quarterback, you got to throw over the top of that. And that's not easy to do. So that played into their hands as well, because he's kind of a side armor sometimes, and he's a little bit sawed off for a quarterback. So, you know, those kind of things played into their favor. And, you know, he's not as skilled of a passer as Jalen Hurts is. Yeah. Now, if you think about Jalen Hurts, this being his at this point in his career, he has come a long ways versus Justin Fields being only in his second year. So you would expect him to improve in the future with his arm, but you know, you got to be a starter for 3 years before you can really judge a quarterback of that caliber.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how he turns out. So, you know, rather than go on about that game, you and I were talking on the phone today about something. And, you know, Brian Gutekunst, there's a new rule where general managers have to talk once during the season. I think it was new either this year or last year. And Gutekunst talked today. And, of course, he and LaFleur were asked about Aaron Rodgers and whether he's back or not. And Jordan Love, they're going to want to be their quarterback next. Do they want him to be their quarterback next year? And have they seen enough to exercise the 5th-year option on him, which they have to do by next May if they're going to do it? So we were kicking around. What do you do at quarterback? Do you make the transition to Love in 2023? Do you go another year with Rodgers and make the transition to Love in 2024, assuming they want Love? Or maybe they are ready to move on. I'm of the opinion that they're going to transition to Love sometime or other, whether it's next year or 24, I'm not sure. But what's your thinking on do you make the move with Rodgers this offseason? Do you do it a year from now?
Well, a half from now? Yeah. I hear a lot of people talking. I listen to the radio like everybody else. And you hear a lot of discussions of, hey, they should just sit Rodgers. You know what? That is a coward's way of looking at it. That, in my opinion, that is, if you're trying to develop a culture of winning and a culture of success, you go out every single week with your guns loaded, ready to go. You know, all this nonsense about, oh, they got to see what they got. They know what they got. They see them in practice every day. If they think they got them, then they can try and get Rodgers out of here at some point in the offseason. That's just me. I mean, I don't care if you're 0-16 and it's the last game. You're going to win the football game because that's the culture of champions. That's the culture of people that want to get it done. So I'm not in that boat of sitting Rodgers for the sake of playing love. My thoughts are 2024 is the year for love. And give this quarterback – I think he sees it. And you heard it a little bit yesterday in his presser that they got themselves something there on offense. They can move the ball on the ground. They can – he's got a receiver there that's pretty special. There's another guy that's probably pretty good, but he's on the shelf. The Torre looks like he can be okay. He can run a little bit. So there's some opportunities there. And I think the number 4, 5, and 6 receivers may not be on the roster right now for 2023. I just think that they have a – if you're a quarterback, you got to be really feeling good about what's out there and where you're going to be able to throw the ball next year. And I think he wants to come back, and I think you got to give him that. I think you got to have him one more year to see what happens.
So I got to completely disagree with you on the playing love thing. I get – wait until you're mathematically eliminated. I understand that. Like I said last week, I would have seriously considered playing love this week, you know, this last game. But, you know, if you want it, as long as you're mathematically in it, I get wanting to stick with Rodgers. Once they're out of it, I'm playing love just to give him some experience, to get a better feel for what you have. Maybe he's even better on game day than you thought, and maybe that helps you make the decision to move Rodgers while you still can get something for him. And take the salary cap acceleration and all that a year earlier rather than paying him another $50 million or $58 million next year. So I'd play love. When they're mathematically eliminated, I would play love. As far as those two guys for the offseason, you know, it's a decision they don't have to make today. And things can happen between now and, you know, mid-January or mid-February, whenever they'll make that call. That could, you know, it could go back and forth. I would be leaning right now. I might be leaning towards making love your quarterback next year. Get what you can for Rodgers, assuming there'll be some teams out there who would want him. I think there would be. I think there'd be a market there. It might not be great, but I think you get at least a second rounder, maybe a one. And you make the transition and you go. Even though you like love, you still have some pretty serious reservations, then you wait. But if they like love as much as it kind of is starting to feel like, I think you do. The timing would be exactly the same as when they went to Rodgers from Favre.
Well, and that's fine. And that's a good point to bring up. I still think there's something left in the tank with 12. I do. And you've seen teams go from worst to first or from bad teams, and also next year they're in contention for a Super Bowl. Those things don't just come around all the time. And next year, if you got Rodgers and you got that backfield in place and those receivers, and you pick up a couple pieces on defense and shore up your offensive line a little bit with another year of experience, they might be really stinking good next year. And I think for you, if it were my football team, I still think pride matters, and winning football games is the most important thing. And to walk out there next year knowing that I could have had a 4-time MVP as my quarterback for an experiment with all these, what am I saying to my veterans that's re-signed with me to play with my football team? And I'm just saying, you know what? We're going to have another bad year because we're going to start another quarterback. What's your best chance to win in 2023? Is it Love or Rodgers? And I think if you think it's love, there's a bridge we can name Doherty Bridge right over there. And you could probably charge a buck a car and get across there. And I would sell it to you for 10 grand.
You know, I'll agree with you there because Love could turn out to be a great quarterback. But if he's their starter next year, it's probably going to be kind of rough. I mean, Aaron Rodgers went 6-10. In his first year as a starter. So I mean, I get that. I'm just, if you go with Rodgers, then you gotta be sure that you gotta feel really good about your chances to be a true, legit Super Bowl contender. And I'm actually with you on I am really bullish about the Packers prospects for next year. Watson has totally changed their offense. Romeo Doubs is a very talented guy. That's two good receivers. Once it looks like Watson might be special as long as he can stay healthy. Bring back Aaron Jones and you've got something, you know, you still have what you had going at running back. I agree completely. If I were the Packers, I'd be feeling really good about their offense right now. But I don't know if they'll be good enough to be a real legit Super Bowl contender. They'd have to make some moves. And I don't know if they have the cap flexibility to do that or not. It's kind of touch and go with how much money they'll have. And as we've seen this year,
you only got one more good year with Jones, right?
It's
foolish to think you got 2-3 years of the guy.
I agree completely. 1 year. He'll be 29 or 30 next year. I agree completely. That's, you know, anything you get after that would be gravy. And I wouldn't even look for it because you got to move on a year early than a year late with those guys. So, I get it completely. I'm not sure. We've seen this year, you know, you say, well, you draft a pass rusher in the first round. You can help yourself there. We've seen this year, you know, two first round picks and the results as rookies have been, you know, spotty with one and non-existent with the other. So there's a lot of leeway there. And I guess part of it depends on just how good they feel about Love. And, you know, to how good they think they can be with Rodgers. I think there's a lot left there in the tank. But, you know, as you and I, like, you've had your complaints about Rodgers' performance in big games, about throwing the ball, locking in on guys who he trusts to a fault. You know, we've been through all those things, and I don't think those things are going to change next year either.
No, I agree. But I think that your chances of winning a lot of games is greater than with Love. And you got probably one more year with Jones. You know, your offensive line should really take a step up, some of those young fellers. Your defense, those two draft picks in the first round, you got to hope they're going to take a step up. They got some younger guys in the secondary that might be able to fill in and get some stuff happening there. You're going to have Eric Stokes back. Probably a new D coordinator.
God, you would think so. I would
stick with the known rather than the unknown for one more year and then burn it down and start over.
And I think the smart, like if you're ranking the possible outcomes, you know, that's number one. That would be the highest percentage is that Rodgers comes back for one more year. But I don't think it's 100% given. And you know what happens between now and the end of the season? There could be some things that, you know, change the Packers' opinion. We'll see. What do you think? How do you think they do the final? They got the bye week. Rodgers should come back pretty much fully healthy. What do you think the final 4 weeks are? What do you think their record is over the final four?
That's really tough. Well, I think they're going to lose probably to Miami. And then you got the three conference games. Outside, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if they beat Minnesota. I think the Lions game, they'll beat the Rams, you know, that West Coast team, proverbial, you know, sunshine gods coming up here.
Backup quarterback playing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a W.
Yeah,
I'd say 2-2 would be, if they went 2-2, I think you got to feel pretty good about that.
That's my guy. I think I said 3-3 going into the Philly game, and they're 1-1, and I think they'll lose to probably Miami and Minnesota, but maybe Miami and – but, yeah, I'm thinking 2-2 also, which would put them at, what, 7-10?
Yeah.
So they're probably picking probably around 15. 12 or 14, somewhere in there. Yeah. So that, you know, be an interesting offseason coming up. But, so I'm on board with you on that. 2-2 was what I was going to say for the final four games.
Which is a vast improvement over 3 weeks ago when I didn't think they'd win another game.
Yeah, that's
– So, boy, imagine how things have changed so quickly.
Yeah, who are they going to beat? I remember we're on the phone. Exactly. And you're like, well, who are they going to beat? And I was like, well, they're going to beat somebody. But they do. They've got something going now with Watson. I mean, they are a different team now, and it's their prospects for the future, took a 180 degree turn in the last 4 weeks. It's amazing. I don't know. I can't remember anybody who's been quite like this, where they were hurt and did nothing as a rookie, and then all of a sudden had this huge an impact. I know Rodgers on McAfee's show talked about James Starks in 2010. He missed all season, came back in like the last week, I think, and played and had a good game and helped them in the playoffs. And he made a difference, but it was not as profound as what Watson's doing for these guys.
I think it was the Bills game.
Yeah.
They were playing the Bills at home when all of a sudden it was like, well, who's this guy?
Yeah, I think he put up 100 in that game, and then I think he put up 100 in the first playoff game at Philly, and after that he was enough of a threat where, you know, teams had to honor the run game a little bit where they didn't have to up until then, and that helped the Packers make that run in the playoffs. So, yeah, lots coming up in the next few weeks. Got a nice bye weekend coming up this weekend, Eric. Give you a chance to get your voice back.
Yeah, that'll be good. I'm sure my wife will have a long list of stuff for me to do, so I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm going to watch a lot of football. I mean, here's the good thing is we got NFL on Saturday and Sunday this week. It's going to be fun. I like it.
Yeah, there'll be a lot to watch. Well, anyway, the sands in the hourglass have run out here, so it's time for us to wrap this up. So I just want to remind everybody we will not have a podcast because there's no game this weekend, so we won't have a podcast next week, but we'll be back after the Monday night game against the Rams in 2 weeks. So until then, just want to thank everybody for joining us. This has been the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty. And for Eric Bronchek, good night, everybody.